Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Let me add my greeting to you today. I know other people have already said they're glad you're here. Well, I'm glad you're here too. And today kind of reminds me of something that happened in the past. I don't often lead the music anymore, but a few years ago, I was the leader of the band that morning. And right before we got up to lead the worship, I went back to the table. There were Lyle sitting. And I felt my foot hit something. And I didn't think anything about it. Well, when I got back up to the stage, we had no words. And I realized, I think I stepped on the cord and unplugged the computer. So this kind of reminds me of that just a little bit. I walked back there and asked Lyle, I said, "Are you sure it's plugged in?" He said, "Believe me, we've checked that." So we're gonna sojourn on, aren't we? Well, today we're going to talk about Jesus. Jesus is the subject. At this point, we were going to have a slide. And that slide was an iconic photograph made back in Paris in 1930. Some of you may recognize the photograph from my description. It's a picture of a man who's out in the middle of a huge puddle. He's on a ladder. The ladder's down into the water. And a photographer walks by just at the moment the man leaps to try to get out of the puddle. And it's called Moment of Decision. The photographer actually was able to put the camera through an opening in the fence and catch that. Think about that, how hard that would be. Cameras back then were not like they are now. They were big, and it was film, and everything had to be right. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture, and he catches the man right at the height of his leap, and you see the man's reflection in the pool perfectly. That was the first photo. The second photo was of Winston Churchill. Churchill, as you know, was a great leader of his country, Great Britain. He led them through World War II. And you may have seen this portrait also, or this picture also. It's a picture that shows Churchill looking with a very stern look at the camera. Well, the background for the story is Churchill was smoking a cigar, and this fellow walks in the room. He walks right up to Churchill. Churchill does not know who he is, and he just grabs the cigar and takes it away and turns around and takes his picture. Well, Churchill is mad, and you can tell it. Add to that, no one had told Churchill that somebody was going to be there that day to take his portrait, but it made a fantastic picture. The third picture may be the most famous of all, was of a grandfather. And he's wearing a Halloween crown made out of fabric, bright blue. And the story behind that picture is he's trying to get his grandson to wear the hat for his Halloween costume. And Simeon said, "No." Well, images are important, aren't they? And I want you to think about that word, images, because we're going to talk about it a little later on in the sermon. We're starting a new series today. It's called Foundations. And the way this came about is our church, our Legacy Church here in Canton and down in Marietta, we're affiliated with an international group of churches called Church of God. Now, if you are not familiar with our group of the Church of God, please don't think you know what we are, who we are, because in this country alone, there are 500 separate groups that call themselves by that name, Church of God. Now, you may have heard of other churches of God. You may have attended other churches of God. And you may associate that name with us, but believe me, it's different. In fact, there is one group in the South Central United States, and they are called Church of God. And their main claim to fame is they like to handle snakes. Now, I don't think we have any visitors here today. If you're a visitor, don't worry. You have to be here at least a full year before we hand you a snake, okay? Well, a few years ago, our national organization, which is headquartered in Anderson, Indiana, met together, and one of the purposes of the meeting was to define what do we as a church group stand for? There were hundreds of people there, and they came up with four tenets. The first of those tenets we're going to talk about today: Jesus is the subject. I must confess, when I first heard that phrase, my reaction or my response was, what does that mean? Jesus is a subject. Do you mean Jesus is the reason? Jesus is, he's the purpose of it all? It didn't register with me at first. I think probably the best way to describe it is through a story. A story about the man in whom the phrase originated. His name is James Jim Lyon. Great name, Jim Lyon. I like it. Well, it seems at this time a couple of other things were going on, and one was our regular executive director for the Church of God was retiring. This is back in 2013. And of course, when in anticipation of that, a committee was formed, a search committee, and they prayed, they asked for inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they settled on this one man, this one person, to be the right choice. His name was Jim Lyon. So they went to Jim and asked him, well, you know, you would think you're going to be the head of an organization, an international organization, really. What an honor to be asked to head something like that up. But it really put him into a quandary. Because, you see, Jim was, he was the pastor of a highly, highly successful church. His church was vital. It was vibrant. It was growing. People were on a weekly basis being led to the Lord through that church. They had just built a whole campus of buildings there at that location, and he felt a real obligation to the work there. Yet he wanted to do God's will. He said, I will pray about it and I'll give you an answer. Well, he did pray about it. He prayed very, very seriously about it. And Jim did something very wise. You know, when we pray, we often sort of treat prayer as a monologue. We might tell the Lord we love him. We might say, Lord, forgive me for when I'm not everything I should be. We might thank him in that prayer. And list blessings even. And then we might ask him for a long laundry list of things we want him to fix. Can anybody relate to that? Okay, you can do all that. God can handle it. But then what Jim did after he went to the Lord in prayer, he listened. He said, Lord, I don't know what I should do. I love my work now. And I've been so blessed here. The work is going well, yet I want to do your will. Should I take this job? And he said, I listened. And he said, in my spirit, I felt an impression. And this was the impression he heard. Jesus is the subject. And I think he kind of had the same response to that I did. Jesus is the subject. So he wanted to help the Lord out a little bit and explain what he really meant. He said, what I really meant, Lord, is you know about this position. It's available. And he said, I want to know, should I take that position? And again, he stopped and listened. And again, he felt in his spirit he was being told, Jesus is the subject. Really, really confused him. So he kind of forgot about it for a while. And every day here, he's asking, he's going to the Lord, he's praying, Lord, what should I do? What should I do? So finally, days turn into weeks and weeks turn into months. And he still does not have his answer. So the committee got back in touch with him. They said, Jim, you know, it's been 4 months. What are you going to do? Are you going to take the job? He said, I don't know. He said, I'm still praying. He said, I don't understand what God is telling me to do. Please give me just a little more time. He went back to the Lord. And he said, Lord, please. I need to have an answer here. And he was desperate. I need an answer. He said, do I take this position or do I not? And he said, please, please do not say Jesus is the subject. Guess what he heard? Jesus is the subject. He got frustrated. He probably got even a little angry. It's okay, the Lord can take it. And he said, Lord, come on. He said, I have prayed about this continuously with you. He said, I've asked you time after time. What I'm asking is, should I take the job? Lord, please don't say that Jesus is the subject. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Wisely again, he listened and he heard, Jesus is the subject. He said, Lord, you have said in your word, seek and you shall find. And he said, I've been seeking and seeking and seeking. Why won't you tell me what to do? And then in his spirit, the Lord said, I have been telling you what to do. Jesus is the subject. He said, I want you to take that job. I don't think the Lord said all this verbally, but he understood in his spirit that he was supposed to take that job. But what he felt so strongly impressed at that point was, we've made it about everything else. What do we do so often in the church? And not just this church, but the church universal. The church makes it about the sermon. We talk about the sermon. We talk about the music. We rate the music. We rate the sermon. We talk about, well, so-and-so wasn't there today. And so we kind of talk about the people, or we talk about ourselves. And this is what the Lord said to him. We've made it about everything but my son. Jesus is the subject. And I want you to tell people that that is the case. I've been guilty of that. Sometimes I've focused on, well, so-and-so's not here. I've been guilty of making the first thing, which is Jesus, way down the list. I'm not really thinking about him. I'm thinking about the externals in the congregation. And I'll admit it, sometimes I worry about it. How about you? Have you ever been guilty of that? It's so easy in our lives to make it all about money or our possessions, even family, good things. Our church family. But it's really about Jesus, isn't it? The Apostle Paul got it. In the book of Colossians, first chapter, verses 15 through 20, this is what he says. He, meaning Jesus, is the exact image. Remember, we're going to have some images up here. See how it ties in? He is the exact image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of creation, the eternal. It was by him that everything was created. The heavens, the earth, all things within and upon them. All things seen and unseen. Thrones and dominions. Spiritual powers and authorities. Every detail was crafted through his design. By his own hands. You know, in the book of John, the first few verses, it says, in the beginning was the Word, which means Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on to say that nothing was created without him. He was there in the beginning. It's by his design, by his own hands, and for his purposes. Jesus has always been. I heard a statistic just the other day, just this past week, that 70% of professing Christians in a survey said that Jesus' life began when he was born to Mary and Joseph. It's not correct. It's not correct. He's always been here. He's eternal. He's everlasting. He is first. And God was pleased that all his fullness should forever dwell in his Son, who is predetermined by God, bled peace into the world by his death on the cross as God's means of reconciling to himself the whole creation, all things in heaven and all things on earth. My friends, Jesus is the subject. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the bright and shining star. He is the fairest of 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he is the subject. What about you this morning? Is Jesus the subject of your life? Or, like a lot of us, often me, does it become about everything else? What can we do about that? What can we as a church do about that? What if today we started making, really concentrating on making Jesus the center of everything we do and say? What if for the next year we make every conversation about him? Now, I know it can be a little odd to constantly be talking about Jesus, even with our church friends. But if Jesus is really at the center of our being, and he is on our mind as we relate to each other, as we fellowship with each other, as we reach out to people outside these walls, if he's really there, he will be seen and he will be heard. We must keep this on our minds at all times. If we did that, what would this place look like 12 months from today? There's nothing impossible to Jesus. What if we put Jesus truly at the center of everything we do and also at the center of our relationships with our friends, with our families, with our community? What would they look like 12 months from now? In Cherokee County, Georgia, we have approximately 267,000 souls in the surrounding area. Actually, that's just Cherokee, but there are other people to whom we have access, right? Now, a survey I read this week said that of the 267,000 souls in this county, 153,085 are unchurched. And that number, to be honest with you, sounded low to me. Just about any time I try to go through Canton Marketplace, about any time of the day, I can't hardly get through there for the traffic, except 8, 9, or 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I think the group that's unchurched is much bigger than that. So I looked into the other figure. They said 113,915 people are associated with the church. Well, then I dug a little deeper, and this is the way they defined associated: people that attend church, people that are a member of a church, or people that claim a church. Now, I have known people that have gone to a church one time in their lives, and when they are asked, "What is your church?" they'll give the name of that church they went to one time. I've known many people whose names are on a membership roll, and they haven't been to that church in 20, 30, sometimes 50 years. Well, those people are included in that number. So you see that it's much worse than the way it was presented. Folks, our mission is clear. We are to make Jesus the subject. And with that at the core of our being, we are to reach out to our friends, family, and community. The Lord has said in his word, "It is my will that not one should perish, But folks, people are dying and going to hell. Yes, I believe there is a literal hell. It is essential. There's nothing more important than that outreach. Now, in September, we're going to have one Sunday where we invite our friends and family to church. Hopefully, you don't wait for one Sunday a year to do that. But we're going to have an emphasis on it. I don't remember which Sunday it is. We'll be announcing it. I'm going to ask you right now this morning to start praying. Lord, lead me to the people I can invite. Now, some of you have many friends that are unchurched. And it's just a simple invitation. Hey, you know, our church is having a friend day. And we love our church. Our church is great. Don't you feel that way? You wouldn't be here otherwise, right? And the feeling is we want to share that with you. Would you just come and visit us on Friend Day? Most people will do that. But now I know there's a camp of people in every church. You may have been a Christian all your life. And your friends just naturally tend to be other Christians. Well, you don't want to be inviting other Christians that go to another church to come to our church with the idea of them possibly worshiping here. Those people are okay. So what I want to ask you to do, if that's the situation, would you start praying now? Lord, put people in my path. And then you show an interest in them. And I don't mean a manufactured interest. I mean a sincere, authentic interest. Don't we love people? Don't we love the people? Ask the Lord to put people in your path. And then ask them to come to Friend Day. The way most people come to a church is through an invitation. Over 80% of people sitting in church pews or chairs are there because at some time someone invited them. My friends, it is essential. Why? Because Jesus really is the subject.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.